Welcome to the Lighter Side of the Dark Side. It's your weekly freak show here on Renegade Radio. Also, Apple, Stitcher, Spotify, Deezer, TuneIn, CastBox, all of those places. Wherever you're listening to us, wherever you're watching us, thank you for joining us. It's the Dark Mark Show. I'm Dark Mark, the goth comedian. Flip this around.
Hi, I'm Hannah Bach, everybody's favorite heavy metal vegan DJ.
There you are. Yes.
There I am. I gave my own intro tonight.
So. Right. Yeah. Yes, and you are everybody's favorite heavy metal vegan DJ.
Oh, I hope so.
And we got quite a show, and I'd start off with an apology.
Yes.
Well, not to you, but to...
To our guest.
Our guest, Beth Lapidus. Everybody loves Beth Lapidus, and she's been kind enough to be on our show and impart her wisdom. Now, do you prefer the queen of alternative comedy, the goddess of alternative comedy, the godmother? I mean, is there a preferred term?
I don't have a preferred term. Whatever you prefer. I like all.
Yeah, I think.
I like them all.
Yeah, the inventor, the...
Creator. Creator is a word I love.
Okay, the creator of alternative comedy.
But I didn't create alternative comedy myself.
Okay, well, we'll see who did create it.
Create tricks. It's a group effort. Group effort.
It was, yes. And your show, Uncabaret, has been going for 25 years, still going strong.
I was certainly a champion.
Yes.
Well,
you're definitely an influence. And we're going to talk about the state of comedy. I know this is Andy Kindler's usual thing, but we had such a brief time last time you were here.
All right.
There were so many questions I wanted to ask. So many questions. And
so many uncertainties.
See, she can sing, too.
You can sing, and you can dress.
Oh, yeah, always style maiden.
Oh,
you look good.
You guys
tonight.
Are just too
very,
nice.
Very goth today.
I'm very goth?
You're very goth. You all are. Black. You're wearing fishnets. It's a whole thing. I like it.
That's my usual just summer black.
Yeah, exactly. So, and by the way, since if you love Beth Lapidus and Uncabaret and alternative comedy, you should go to audibletrial.com/DMS. Once again, audibletrial.com/DMS. Because there's a motherload. There's so many Uncabaret shows.
There are, aren't there? Yeah.
That are on there, and you can get those. You can get one for free.
Get one for free. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean they got. I mean all.
And if you're on Amazon Prime, you can get the. There's four episodes. You can get for free.
Oh, I didn't know that. I will check that out. But the Audible trial, you get a free book or comedy album or comedy thing. Also, two Audible originals.
Yes.
Kate McKinnon has an Audible original that she wrote with her sister. Where it's like a twisted fairy tale. I dig that. They have Alien 3. The movie sucked, but William Gibson, the cyberpunk writer, wrote a script, and they got Michael Biehn and Lance Henriksen and people to act that out in a movie. You can get both of those free and an Uncabaret.
Whew. Also, Meryl Marco has one on there.
Or Meryl Marco, whoever you want.
The History of Women.
I think Julie Sweeney has something on there. There's all sorts.
Go get some Audible. Listen.
Yes, audibletrial.com/DMS so that you get it for free and then get paid a little bit. So let me get...
Oh, all right. There you go.
So if you're going to do it, audibletrial.com/DMS. The secret is out. Hannah's going to tell us about our other sponsor and one more thing she's working on. Then we're going to talk about comedy.
Yeah, one of our sponsors is Doomy's Home Cooking. They're located on Fountain Vine here in Hollywood. They have one in Culver City, Toronto, Canada.
1253 Vine Street.
1253 Vine Street, excuse me.
Right on the corner of Fountain and Vine, right by the M Bar where Uncabaret used to be.
Oh, yeah.
They do. They have a Nex-Mex, which has amazing Mexican vegan food. Mm-hmm. They also were voted best nachos last year in L.A., and they are vegan.
Yes.
And then you can also, you know, get your grub on with a vegan Big Mac. Right. Shrimp po' boy, which
shrimp
is your favorite.
They have vegan shrimp po' boy.
Wow.
Yeah,
vegan chicken parmesan, vegan pulled pork. It's amazing.
And what's it called?
Doomy's Home Cooking. And may I add, they are open to 3 a.m. on the weekends. So after you've some junk munchies after the bar,
Is it a $1 sign, $2 signs, or $3 sign situation?
It's a... Probably $2 sign.
$2
sign.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's
not bad.
Like
they're
$2
kind of,
sign.
It's
yeah.
kind of. It's kind of a. Yeah. Yeah.
It's enough to take home too, and they have amazing like vegan carrot cake.
Ooh,
and the staff is fantastic. Also, so I'm going to segue into something.
Yeah. It's not as cheap as Denny's, but it's not as poisonous.
Well,
either.
You're not going to go to Denny's.
Denny's is crap.
Yeah.
No, but also I'm going to segue into this Saturday. We have the Animal Rights March in downtown LA, and it will be safe. The streets will be blocked off by the LAPD. It's a peaceful march. There will be vendors, So come on down. It starts at 10:30, and it's going to run till I believe around 3 or 4 p.m.
Okay. Well, now you tell me about that. I might join you there myself.
Yeah. Myself, I'm not going to be there because I'm sensitive to the sun. But if you have any questions, sure, please go to the Animal Rights March on Instagram, or you can follow me, and I will direct you to
right
there.
Go to Hail Hannah Bach on Instagram,
yeah,
or Facebook or Twitter.
Yes, please come out and support us. And if you show up early, there's going to be some swag bags.
Oh, wow. Okay. And tell them the Dark Mark Show sent you. You're yes, all for animal rights, I'm sure.
You're asking me who's going to be against it? What about, there's no answer to that.
You'd be surprised.
Really?
There's always somebody that's opposite of everything, you know? Like, people don't like vegans, and it's like, you know, I don't care what people eat. Who cares?
Well, people, I mean, how are you going to tell people that they shouldn't take it? Just, we can't get into that.
Let's not get into that.
We all agree.
Let's get into you are the you made comedy cool. You are the godmother, the inventor of alternative
godmother
comedy.
Sure.
What did I say? There's so many things that I could say.
So many things.
If you look up alternative comedy, Bethel Peters is going to be had better be listed, because you started on Cabaret and you started a different kind of comedy.
Yes.
Which is alternative comedy.
Brrr.
Yeah. Which is not misogynistic, not
unhomophobic, unxenophobic, unmisogynistic. It came from performing at an alternative space one night, and the women were laughing too hard, and I said, you know how funny your stuff is. And they were just, I was like, when was the last time you laughed? They said, we don't laugh. We're women. We're artists, and we're lesbians.
Yes.
And if we go to a comedy club, they make fun of us.
Right.
And I said, I'll make you a show. It'll be unhomophobic, unxenophobic, unmisogynist, uncabaret. It was a download.
Right.
So that's how it happened. What? And then it was an adventure. Then I didn't exactly know where it was.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't had to find it from there. It didn't come from me. You know, I had my own frustrations in the comedy clubs. You know, standing behind Andrew Dice Clay, waiting to go on stage, mm-hmm. hating him, hating the audience for loving him, hating myself for hating, not wanting to operate out of hate. There has to be a better way. What's right. the better way? You walk around with that question. I don't have an answer, but what is the better way? Then you're in the thing with the, you know, it's all process. It's right. all process.
Now, was there ever a time you think alternative became mainstream? Because I do.
Well, when would you say?
I would say probably the early 2000s.
What's the moment?
The moment, I think, probably when podcasts started hitting.
You know, here's the thing.
Comedy nerd culture really started booming.
But that's not all of alternative comedy.
Right.
Nerd culture did become somewhat That nerd culture
mm-hmm.
did become somewhat mainstream.
Right.
But that is not the same thing in full
right.
as alternative comedy.
But also improv, Comedy Store, they started putting on alternative nights.
Yes, but it's still, yes, there was a mainstreaming. But
right.
there is still, I mean, it's hard for me to walk into, what I try to do is create an environment with more freedom than you can
right.
have at a mainstream comedy club.
Sure.
Part of that is the audience. I mean, the audience is a big part of it, what the audience is coming to expect. But, I mean, I've performed at the Comedy Store and the Improv in the last couple of years, and it is different.
Yeah.
It's 100% different. It's still not where I would like it to be. It's not what I would design for
mm-hmm.
my most, you know, it's not what I try to do with Uncab, but I certainly feel like there's an enormous shift. On the other hand, you know, I will look at a lineup and it's still a lot of guys.
Mm-hmm.
The environment is still not great for women.
Right.
There's still not as much, you know, LGBTQ that I would like to see. There's still not as much. You know, Hannah Gadsby brought this up a lot, mm-hmm. and, you know, and it's a fight. It's sort of what I've been, it was good to hear her say it because it's what I've been trying, you know, the going past the punchline. There's still, so what's alternative? I mean, are you talking about including material about, you know, drugs? Sure, that's it there. Are you talking about releasing comedians from the 7-second laugh meter?
Mm-hmm.
No, you're not. So there's only so deep that you can go in a situation where an audience has to be fed a little sardine every
right.
7 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
That rhythm is very demanding, and you can only go so far because the setup can only be so deep.
Right.
And then the punchline is there, and then are we going past that, is there room for story? And in a lot of cases, it is a lot better.
Yeah.
So I don't want to say that there isn't. I mean, there's not a, it's not a black or white yes or no. I see a shift. And when, look, when we started alternative, you know, when Uncabaret began, and it, you know, yes, I worked very hard, and so yes, me, but us. I mean, there was a group mm-hmm. that without this group, it's not, you know, it's a sure. we situation. At that time, you know, there were already two strands of comedies. There's always been two strands. There's a shticky strand, and then there's this deeper strand. At the mm-hmm. time of the Catskills, there's also, you know, Lenny Bruce. And yeah. even Lenny Bruce himself is shticky and deep. You yeah. know, so, you know, there's these two different sort of just giant forces in stand-up. Poopy fart jokes and, you know, and a deeper trying to understand life and what it means.
And you think there's room for both in an act?
Often they do not exist side by side in an okay. act. Occasionally. I mean, Lenny Bruce did a lot of dick jokes.
Lenny Bruce, you know, Richard Pryor, people like that.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of comedians who are great comedians, you yeah. know, do end up doing a lot of, you know, blue material.
Right.
And that's part of life. So I'm not, no judgment, really. But it, you know, it's like, I look at a lot of comedians who, and I won't name names, but there are like a lot of great comedians that are working now, and I'll dip in and I'll see something and I'll just go, ah, it's lazy. And but also a lot of times I just don't like those people. I mean, there's some things that seem really honest and I'm like, I just don't like you. I mean, it is funny, but there's there is like also a level of being a human.
Right.
That I'm just like,
well, speaking of human, here comes quite a human. I'm sorry.
Hi, Erica's here.
This is Eric Irvin, Amazon
Barge.
Eve.
Barge.
Hi, hi, Erica.
Hi.
How are you?
Hi.
And
are you?
She came in. We were have a seat. You look lovely as always.
I gotta get up and give you a hug.
Wait, I'm gonna give you a hug.
I just got sat down afterwards. Oh my god, I got sunburn everywhere.
It's all
sunny. Oh, honey.
Anyways,
look at that red.
Ouch.
Look at that red.
Your dress is gorgeous.
Thank you.
Look at you dressing up for us.
Ah.
And test the mic.
Yes.
Yes.
Ooh, there, good. There it is.
So anyway, Erica,
hi.
Beth,
hi.
Beth,
hi.
Erica.
Hi.
How are you?
God, I love this moisturizer. It's the best.
Yeah, that's. I just realized. I. Yeah. Oh God. I'm.
Ow.
Oh my God. I'm
you
so
know what
red.
You actually have to do when you as soon as you get home is vinegar. Vinegar is what you need for a sunburn. Apple right. cider vinegar.
Really? Yeah. You would think that would burn or sting.
I'm telling you, it's just the. It has to do with the alkalinity.
Oh wow. Okay. And now we learned, once again, we learned something from Beth.
Mm-hmm. I'm a walking...
Yeah, you could teach comedy classes and sunburn classes.
Sure.
Yeah.
God.
But I was going to ask you what you thought of Hannah's Gatsby's special, because that became such a talking point last year.
Yeah, I don't want to do a review of that, you know.
But
it was important, and, you know, I like that it was out there. I mean...
Yeah.
You know, a little overly polished. I like my for my taste.
Yeah, I you know, the thing is, I heard people say it's the greatest thing ever or it stinks. And it's
I will say neither of those things.
Exactly. It was in the middle. I thought it was good.
You know, I'm also not big on opinions. I've had so many opinions that have changed. I don't like to come, unless I'm just saying, ugh, I love that thing purely and simply.
Right.
I would have, in order to sit and really talk, I'd have to watch it three more times.
Right.
In order to have, I'll tell you whose special I loved.
Okay.
I loved that Wanda Sykes special. That made me laugh so hard.
Is that on Netflix?
It's on Netflix.
Oh, I got to check that out.
Yeah.
I love Wanda Sykes.
She does so, it's political, it's personal, her timing is just so great. I just adore her.
She's the best, one of the best.
Yeah.
There's no question.
It's a great special.
I got to check that out. So yeah. Speaking of Netflix, do you think there's too many people getting Netflix specials?
No, I mean, it's just ebb and flow. You know, I think there's, you know, too... I don't want to watch... I mean, is there too many? I can't... Who's... I don't know.
Well,
but, I mean, there's not... I don't know. I've never asked myself that question. I don't have an opinion about that.
Because there's a lot of... I mean, I'm just saying from the rank and file comics that I come across, I hear a lot of, and I see a lot of on social media especially, you know, how did this guy get a special? How did this woman get a special? There's too many specials. They're giving specials out like candy.
Well, you know what? The people who are complaining about those specials would not think they were having too many specials if they had a special.
Right.
They're just cranky that they don't have a special.
Right.
They're jealous.
They're jealous, so, exactly.
I mean, I want your special.
I want your special.
I want what you have.
Right.
Why can't that be mine?
Oh, yeah.
I want it. I don't know.
They blame you for stealing it.
They're just very...
social justice worry.
I don't think there's too many.
Intersectional flatulence of oppression splaining.
Sure.
All right, good.
Okay.
I think the only thing that's a problem with it is I think, you know, the overarching to lock in material. I mean, what I see happening is too much solidifying and not enough exploring.
Right.
So if you're trying to, in terms of process, if you're trying to make something sellable and package it, the effort is to stop the growth of it. I probably err on the side of too much process. I think I go too far in the other direction, and I should... I mean, I would critique myself for, you know, I should polish more and create, you know. But I feel like there's a tendency to want to make product very fast. Mm-hmm. And Netflix encourages that culture. A lot of Netflix specials. But I think it's great for comedians to make money. I mean, look, in 1990, were you saying, are there too many holding deals? You know, comedians have to make money.
Right.
And how? So Netflix specials, that's the way comedians are making money now. At another time, they were making money because they were trying to sell their sitcom.
Right. But I mean, you just performed your one-woman show.
Mm-hmm.
So you do have a polished show.
I'm still polishing it, but yes, I'm working on it.
You're still changing it?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. You've been doing the show for how many years?
10. But it's changed substantially. I put it away for a long time, and then I didn't have a third act. And now the third act has become clear, and now I'm working on it again.
You're still refining the third act.
No, the whole thing now. Once you have a third act, then the whole thing, you know, has to reshift. I haven't done it 10 years three times a night for I've done it.
And this is 100% happy.
88% of the time.
88% of the time.
But it's really a show about trust.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry I missed it. And I hope you do it again.
I will do it again.
Because it was at the Rockwell. I guess Jeff Goldblum's filming something or something because they're filling in the Wednesday nights, I guess.
I believe he is doing something else this summer. I don't know if he's filming or enjoying the beach.
Right, or enjoying all the women that fawn over all over him for some reason. My mother's still baffled by that.
Your mother is?
I told her about how much every woman in L.A. has a crush on Jeff Goldblum. She did not believe it. I posted on Facebook, and just every woman said how they love Jeff Goldblum.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you why. I can't.
Except for Hannah Bach. That would be
I will explain it to you.
And Hannah Gatsby, I would assume.
Yes. He's appealing.
Yeah?
Well, he has a great sense of fun. He's handsome but offbeat.
Mm-hmm.
He's quirky, so you don't feel like he thinks he's prettier than you are.
Right.
These are some things I think women like. Nothing me.
Right.
He's plus a movie star.
Yeah.
Plus very, you know, plus he's got the music thing.
Charming, intelligent, and good actor.
But also the music thing that lives in someone.
Right. Do you find Jeff Goldblum attractive? He's a pretty tall guy.
Oh, smoking.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah. I mean, he's about 3 or 4 inches.
Oh, he's in the Spank Bank.
Oh, okay. But he's about three or four inches lower than you, so the shorter
aren't
than you.
Aren't they all?
So, but he would be just tall enough to ride that ride?
No, I know the Chihuahua humping a Great Dane. It's pretty much how it is. But he was cute in The Fly.
He got ugly,
but God, he was so just coming out, all that... sweaty, musty, steamy. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
That was a few years ago.
That was Blah. About 30 years ago. Yeah.
Yes, I know. I'm dating myself.
No, that's okay. No, but,
you could have seen it on Netflix.
Possibly.
I could lie. Yes. Okay.
You could have seen it.
I'm going to lie and say I saw it on Netflix recently.
Recently. Yes, and we saw it. What other questions do you have about comedy? I've got tons of them.
I was going to say, because Eve, who has a fascinating life, I don't think there's anybody more interesting than you.
Agreed.
Oh,
the world's tallest model.
Not the world's tallest model.
Well, you were. You were.
I was. There's no space on the shelf for second world's tallest model. It just doesn't work that way.
Oh, okay. Well.
And my grandpa thinks she's a fox, by the way.
Grandpa.
Grandpa. Grandpa. Ichibansuke Bay. Slap.
And you've been talking about doing a one-woman show. You have been doing a one-woman show. I haven't seen it.
I've
seen pieces of it. Yes. Any advice?
Me?
Yes.
It depends. I haven't seen the show. There's no grand piece of advice.
As far as shaping your material into a one-person show, just
make sure that it's, you know, the difference. But I don't want to be an advice giver.
Okay.
But there is one thing.
Sifu, I mean, tell me the way.
I mean, the only thing I will say is the difference between an hour. I mean, some people really aren't doing a one-person show. They're just doing an hour of comedy. And I don't even want to say just, because there's something so beautiful about a great hour of comedy.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But some people say it's a show when it's not a show. It's just an hour, you know, of great material.
I've seen that.
And that's amazing. Mm. And I sometimes wish that's what I had made, because that would be a great, very commercial thing. But I've done a lot of shows, and, you know, I came up in that world of shows. And the thing that makes it really pay off for someone is when the beginning and the end connect. You know, there's an end that is an end that means something with the beginning.
Right.
And a journey.
It goes full circle.
Journey. But, you know...
Somebody grows.
But then I'm sure there's a perfect way to do it without that. I mean, there's just no rule. There's no one thing that you can tell to anybody.
Okay.
I really believe that. There's not like a secret thing for anything. There's anything that anyone can tell you. There's exactly the other thing is true for someone else.
Right.
You know, I could tell you that, and then you could say, well, what about this other one-person show? They didn't do that, and it's the best show in the world.
Sure.
You know?
But you teach comedy.
I do.
You teach writing.
What I say is I teach creativity. Many of the people I teach it to are comedians.
Right.
And I can help people be funnier. I'm not the person that's going to make you're going to bring your, you know, I'm going to listen to your 10-minute set 400 times.
Right.
I'm going to help you learn to generate material. I'm going to help you learn how to be who you are as a comedian, as a memoirist, as a one-person show person, whatever you want to do, I help you do it authentically as yourself.
Now here's the question, and this is one of the questions I really wanted to get to last night.
Oh, thank God.
It's coming.
You've been sitting on it.
No. Can somebody that's not funny become funny? Do you think people are naturally funny, or everybody?
I think that many people can be funnier. I have come across very few people, but there are a few that I really couldn't help be funnier.
Right.
There are some people that are just... But most people can get a lot funnier. Maybe not funny enough to be a great stand-up comedian, but funny enough to, you know, write funnier enough to be funnier, funnier enough to understand what's funny about themselves. And there are tricks and there are ways of doing it. Almost every stand-up comedian was not any great stand-up comedian, except, I don't know, there's a few. I didn't even think Eddie Murphy was supposedly great the first time he got on stage.
Right.
But most comedians went through a long time of being not that funny. You know, and not consistently funny. That's the other
Marty
thing.
Feldman.
Marty Feldman.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Wow, you're going way back. He wasn't a stand-up.
You think you're dating yourself with The Fly?
Yeah, the Marty Feldman.
I got to meet him in Las Vegas.
Was he funny?
Oh yeah.
All right.
Was he doing these eyes?
Was he doing stand-up, or was he just?
No, I met him for breakfast with a friend.
Oh, okay.
Did he make you laugh at breakfast?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Yeah. He's all that in a bag of chips. He's fun and personable and very, very. There's a wisdom.
That'd be for our younger viewers. If you go back to Young Frankenstein or other movies, that's who Marty Feldman is. He had huge eyes and he would bug them out. And
that guy. Because I'm not a comedian, but as a fan, I think and I feel just because I am getting older, I think the older you get, the funnier you become, because you've experienced so many different things in life and you can kind of make a sense of humor about it, especially, you know, some really screwed up things that has happened.
Well, you have perspective. You have a deeper perspective of life. Yeah. And... you know yourself better.
Yeah.
And, you know, what, there are two things that will keep an audience from laughing at a comedian. And those two things, I mean, there are two things that keep you, like, comedy adjacent but not quite funny. If an audience is worried about you, mm-hmm. I mean, that will just, I mean, they may want to laugh. You might be mm-hmm. doing funny things, but there could be something like you don't know something about yourself. Or, you know, if an audience feels that they know you better than you know yourself, that will worry them.
Right.
And I think it's because people are actually kind of nice and they don't want to laugh at you. They want to laugh with you. So if they're not on the same page as you, so an audience has to feel unworried to be able to laugh. That's the main thing that will keep an audience from laughing. Then the other thing, and it's another, and so that is something you get as you grow older. Mm-hmm. You sort of know yourself so well that you are able to bring that. You know, it's a consciousness right. thing. And of course, the more complicated you are, the longer it takes. You know, so these guys who are just like super simple, like the guys of comedy, you know,
right.
there are a lot of people that aren't that complicated. So it doesn't take that much to know yourself and you're this mm-hmm. guy and, you know,
right.
what about this? How about that? Yeah. I mean, it's funny. You okay,
get her done. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, I think to be a woman, there's so many people, everyone you know is probably more complicated than that. Mm-hmm. So the more complicated you are, the more interesting you are, and eventually the better your work will be, but it doesn't happen necessarily as fast. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing is unanswered questions will really keep an audience from laughing, because
right.
if a person is sitting there going like, but why? I don't understand. How come? Even if they're loving you, that the little question in their head that they want to ask and want an answer to is keeping you. And that's how we developed actually the back mic in the, because people, you know, because UNCAB
right.
became about doing all new material. So
right.
in doing new material, there is always questions. I mean, there are questions because you're just doing it for the first time. You haven't like fully thought it out. You're working it out. It's the new first time. So I would, you know, when it started happening just really naturally, I just hopped on a mic in the back of the room and said, hey, but what about, and you know, tried to get people to laugh through asking the questions that I could hear the audience asking.
Right, but you don't do that so much anymore.
I don't, you know.
Or you haven't. I've seen three UNCAB shows or four, and
I don't. I'm still getting a feel of that room. I'm also tired. It's been a really
am
hard
I giving
year.
Getting you the wrong coffee doesn't help. And,
I don't know. You know, there was some more experimentation early on. People were doing rawer things. The world has changed, I think, you know, for the worse a little bit. I hate to be pessimistic, but, you know, people were at the beginning of UNCAB. We were in a world where there was no social media.
Right.
There, people were really laying it out on the line. Maybe people were saying that you would just, I mean, they were talking about deals and executives and what it was really like to be in Hollywood and naming names. Like every name was named.
Right.
I mean, and, you know, in relationships revealing, you know, material mm-hmm. about relationships that people are more protected about. Because there was no sense that this is going to leak. I mean, even if it doesn't, we've never had a leak. I mean, in the past 9 years, nothing has leaked out. There's been all
right.
the social media, you know. But the fear that it's going to leak out
mm-hmm.
is, it keeps people a much more guarded. We just aren't, you know, it's sad. We just
right.
don't have the freedom that we had.
Which leads me to the Louis C.K., where they leaked out material he was working on. What'd you think of that? I mean, people were just aghast at the material that he was doing and saying, you know, fuck this guy, get him off the stage. Do you think he has a right to be on stage after what he did, which was horrible, and we all agree
on that? Does he have a right to be on stage?
Yeah.
Certainly.
Okay.
What he did.
I mean, you know.
Do you know what he did?
He
masturbated in front of his opening acts.
He did,
and also people in writers' rooms. He also mm-hmm. he jeopardized a number of women's careers.
Is that the worst we've seen?
I'm not saying it's the worst, but
it's not the jacking off. It's the ruining of careers.
Yeah.
It's the constant threat of ruining careers.
And is the
the head thing? Oh my God! Who held the head of Trump?
That was Kathy Griffin.
There's a. I'm just going to say it. There's a censorship bot out there, and you offend someone, they'll take your ass down. It's the harder. The more people you reach,
right?
The narrower and narrower and narrower your bandwidth gets.
Well, that's what's happening
really
in all of show business these days. Is that it's all narrowing. I think.
Well, the world is niche.
It's all niche. Niche world. It's all niche, yeah.
It's niche. It's a very niche world. Look, the thing with Louis C.K. is I think my choice, what's happening out there?
Oh, they're having like an improv class. very loud improv class.
You know.
You wouldn't have him on Cabaret again.
Louis?
Yeah.
Not now. I mean, not unless he wanted to do a set and really talk about what happened. I mean, and even then, you know. And, you know, there are a lot of different ways it could have gone. He could have gone to work in prisons. He could have looked at, you know, there was no real, I don't think there's, people change. I believe people change.
Mm-hmm.
I believe people can change at least. And in order to do that, I've had to try to change. And I think I've seen people change.
Right.
But he doesn't, it never seemed like he wanted to change. And it's a can of worms. Yeah. I wouldn't sit in a room and watch him the way it is now.
Right. But his material coming out, everybody's got a cell phone now. I didn't think his material was his best material. It's not something, but I mean, I it came out on a cell phone and I could tell it's something he's working on. It's not, you know, but people, because he was talking about the Parkland shootings, he did jokes about that, and now he's some alt-right zealot. I'm like, I didn't get that at all, but I just thought it was just,
I didn't form an opinion. I had a feeling, and my feeling was,
he's trying to be shocking, and it's whatever. So what? And speaking of Eddie Murphy, now he's going $75 million to do a Netflix again.
Yeah, that's a nice payday.
You think
someone's got to find Eddie a place Murphy. To experiment?
Good for Eddie Murphy.
I mean,
he's a movie star.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way it's going to be good. I would think. I mean, it's after what?
He'll certainly be happy while he's doing it.
He hasn't done comedy in 35 stand up in 35 years.
Well, everybody else.
Adam Sandler didn't do it for a while. He went out there doing 100% Fresh, did really well.
Yeah, but not 35 years. I mean, the last time Eddie Murphy did stand up was what, 87?
It's like Bicycle. It's just you get the cobwebs out.
He's
you
not
going to
walk onto a stage and shoot a special. He's going to do a tour and he's going to get an act together and then, you know. He's a movie star. So is Adam Sandler. They're not stand-ups. They're movie stars.
Right.
They're being hired as movie stars to do stand-up.
Right.
Which is where they started. It's like if you cooked in a kitchen for a family dinner, now you become a huge restaurateur and somebody's going to bring you back to cook a dinner. You know, it's a movie star doing stand-up. And there's nothing wrong with it. I'm not criticizing that, but that's why he's being paid that.
Right. And somebody else probably that wouldn't have on Cabaret again, I would assume would be Roseanne probably.
You know, look, yeah, I'm not going to say anything bad about any of these people. It's not who I am.
The reason I'm saying this is that you've worked with these people. I haven't, and I you have a little more insight as to who they are.
Roseanne's not stable. I wouldn't book her because she's who knows if she'll show up. You know, it's like
that's true.
I mean, it's unfortunate. It's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking to me. I wouldn't say anything bad because Roseanne fought the good fight for so long. She paved the way for so many women.
Yeah.
That show was so beautiful. And that show was, you know, for all the Sturm und Drang, they did that show. They did it year after year. And that show broke so many boundaries about body image. That show broke boundaries for women. That show broke boundaries in terms of what's appropriate to do comedy about. It was... It talked about money, which was one of the huge taboos in America. I mean, it was, you know, I want to say brilliant. And she's done brilliant on Cabaret sets.
And her stand-up before her show was groundbreaking as well.
Groundbreaking. And her book, you know, she's the way she started. So, you know, I love Roseanne. I pray for Roseanne. I pray that Roseanne finds sanity. She just seems unhappy and unhinged. And but inside that, there's a different person. So I would never say never. Who knows what will happen to Roseanne next year?
Yeah, I admire Roseanne as a comic. I just, I hope she gets through it. I think, like you say, I think she's been mentally unstable for a long time. I think there are things that go by.
I think everybody in comedy is mentally unstable.
Well, yeah, that's what I think. That's what I
think. We need to read Michel Foucault a little bit. Because back in the day, I mean, the psychological profession started narrowing what normalcy is. And back in the day, people who were a little off were considered special.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like during the French Revolution, people who were... a little weird, you know, just mouth off things. They were given a special class that they had. They were blessed in some way.
You know, it has to do.
All of a sudden, mental health. They started putting people in asylums.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. I mean, it's mental health. Where, how we define it, and what's crazy and what's not crazy, and you know, being so. There's a beautiful book that I've been reading for about a year, three pages at a time. I'll finish it one of these days.
Yeah.
And it's called The Care of the Soul, and it has to do with. Not trying to fix things, you know, that you know, our soul communicates to us through what would be maybe considered crazy or illness, or how do we bring soul into the world? And that, you know, it's one of the problems with show business is it is soul crushing. So you come into show business as an artist, and you know, you want to express yourself, and you want to be creative, and you want to, you know, be goth or, you know, different. You know, it attracts people of difference. And then there's a homogenization and a fixingness and a polishing that wants to heterogenize everyone. I don't know if that's a word, but
homogenize.
But I like this heterogenize.
Homogenize. You say homogenize, you say heterogenize.
But you know what I mean? It's like a certain.
I know what you mean, but also I think from what I'm seeing in stand up, and you were talking about how. People get funnier as they get older.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's an ageism in stand-up that I didn't
course.
See before.
Well, there's two things. One is there's an ageism in all of show business. And two, the business of show business is hard to do as you get older because it's late nights and it's traveling to shitty motels. And it's, the physical effort of stand-up does not encourage an older person. It's not an older person's game. For that reason. However,
are you crying or you're laughing?
No, I started later in life. Let's just
put
it that way.
I'm not saying it's like that.
No, Augie. Do you guys know who Augie is?
Mm-mm.
The stand up comic that went around the Liquid Kitty. Oh, God,
the Liquid Zoo?
The zoo. He came out there. He was like an old road hack. Mm. And he said, "You want to be a road hack at your age? You carry it. You know, that's a young whippersnappers thing."
Yeah.
So I did it for about 5 years. Broke, you know, just everywhere I could go.
Mm-hmm.
Paid my dues.
Mm-hmm.
Figured out how to write a set.
Mm-hmm.
I realized I just want to put the comedy within my solo show instead.
Right.
So that's how there's an evolution to it. So I'm learning about evolution of your own. It's finding your voice.
Yep.
It's finding what material works for you. Being very brutally honest up there. But exploring, and when we're talking about comedy, we're looking at stories, and the stories sometimes have premises, and you pull the premise, and then you make lots of jokes out of those things. But we have to have the ability to explore, to say, what is crazy? This is crazy. This is stupid. This is funny. This is, you know, what's weird about this? All the things that get us. We are making judgments, and it's those judgments that have been narrowed. I think the court gesture needs to come back. We need to really kind of allow people to have an open mic that they can say what they want without fear of being taken out somewhere.
Well, I think some people would argue that Facebook, Twitter, and all that is that.
No, it's not. There's a lot of censorship going on.
Well,
I don't think it's our, you know,
the guy in England who taught his pug how to do a Heil Hitler thing. I got prosecuted for that.
I think that's okay.
Really?
Yep. I don't think there's anywhere in the world for Heil Hitler anything. I honestly don't. Or did he not define it as that? I didn't see this thing.
Count Dankula. Go look up Count Dankula.
Count Dankula. Okay.
Count Dankula.
I don't know. I mean, I think part of it is tracking everything. But I'm iffy on any
jokes. Is it funny? Is that funny? I don't know.
It's a dog putting his hand up. It's not a hand. It's a paw.
Well, let me.
How does a paw do that?
Let me ask you this: the Kathy Griffin,
silly.
The Kathy Griffin thing. Did you think that was funny?
To somebody, it might be.
Hmm.
Okay. I quite enjoyed
But
if you walk into comedy with the idea, okay, if we license speech, it's either free speech or it's not free speech, or it becomes licensed speech. Unless we go down to the Kafkaesque wager, where we slowly lose our ability to speak at all and think at all, because really speaking and writing is all reflection of thought. It becomes a form of thought control.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but you're not being arrested for it. It's just not necessarily something.
Arrested, I mean, deplatformed. Okay, if they can harm you other than being arrested, then it's the same thing.
How so?
It is. Deplatforming, losing your job, your livelihood. There's other kinds of punishments.
Oh, sure, yes. Of course, of course.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, but taking you off Twitter or Facebook or Instagram, those are private corporations. You think they can do that? You think they should do that?
Well, it's a private ownership of a public square. It depends if that argument, are they a platform or a publisher? Do you really want to get down that road with me?
No.
But okay. I mean,
I'll turn the lawyer on for you.
I mean, just to flip it. I mean, do you think Trump should be on Twitter?
Yes.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Do you think he's doing a good job on Twitter?
Depends.
Right.
And who you're talking to? It's a context question.
Right. I would say that I personally. I don't think he's the best tweeter myself, but that's just personal.
Yeah, his Twitters are inflammatory on purpose.
No, I got that, and I have a feeling that he's not writing most of those, but so whoever is.
Well, okay. The left and right have their own little game that they're playing right
now. I'm not playing. There's a serious game going on.
Fourth dimensional chess.
I honestly don't think Donald Trump at 3 a.m. is sitting there going,
He's not doing that. He's got a team doing that.
That's what I'm saying. So I got this smug thing about Biden I'm going to throw out there. Somebody's doing that.
Peter Thiel said it best. We wanted floating cars. We got 140 characters. It's a form of hive mind. There's no such thing as 7 degrees of separation. If Trump tweets something, everybody sees it. He knows this.
Right.
They know that. Now think ahead. Mm-hmm. Play chess.
Right.
Okay. He's going to piss somebody off with something,
right,
drawing attention to it while he does something with one tweet.
It's misdirection.
Well, there's a lot of misdirection.
Yeah.
It's all misdirection.
The whole thing is a freaking puppet show, so, you know.
Yeah. Anyway, this is why I don't do political comedy.
Yeah.
But just a couple more questions.
I know we're going to have to go.
So, Jerry Seinfeld, of all people,
mm-hmm,
won't do colleges.
Right. This is what I was going to ask Beth about. It's about 5 years ago he came out with this, like, I'm too edgy for the colleges. They won't buy my material. I'm like,
yeah, that
this is the guy. Hey, you always lose one sock in the laundry. I mean, that's too. Do you feel he's got a point?
I don't know.
I mean, it's just stupid.
This is hard to even. I have to say, I begrudgingly looked at his Netflix special because I try to keep my eye on
the
stuff.
The last one.
It was so good.
It wasn't bad. Yeah.
And I mean, I'm not. I was ready to watch 5 minutes and turn it off. And I thought he did a great job storytelling. It was very intimate. I love intimacy.
It was the best set I've ever seen him do.
Is Jerry Seinfeld too edgy for comedy for colleges? I don't know. But, I mean, that's crazy that he said that. Maybe he is.
Well, I've said this before in the show. I think there's such a double-edged sword as far as political correctness in that, there's all sorts of things you cannot say. My example is you can't say Oriental on stage. However, every young comic I know has a rape joke, which...
Well, I've seen some rape jokes that are about the idea of rape that are interesting. Somebody did one on Cabaret Amazon shows. I'm trying to think who it was. There's nothing you can say that can do or not do. I don't think that comedy should make vulnerable communities feel unsafe. I don't feel that.
Do people really have a right to intellectual security?
I don't know. I would get up and walk out, though. I mean, I don't think that there's...
Well, there's something called fragility culture, and who's responsible for their fragility? If you really need it, if you really need a trigger warning, you need not come to a comedy club.
I disagree. I think there's a kindness and a love that can be in comedy. I don't think comedy has to be assaultive. But
kindness is used as a malapropism in order to silence.
I don't know. Whatever.
And yet, you almost, when I first met you, you almost beat up a comedian who sued said Tranny on stage.
Beat him up?
You got in his face.
Who did I get in the face of?
Ty Rivera.
Did I?
Yes, you did.
I can't remember.
Yeah, because he said tranny.
I may have a little while ago, and I asked. And say it any way you want.
No, I'm saying he said tranny on stage, or he made some joke, and you You got in his face.
I'm trying to remember. This might have been in the very beginning.
Right. So
people change.
People change.
Okay.
Well, that's. I mean, okay. Once you get this, it's called a club. It's right. called call out cancel culture. Okay. Once the directive comes down through the, you know, the I guess what do they call it? I don't know, through the Twitterverse. You know, they say certain words get banned. It's all Herbert Marcuse. It's called repressive tolerance. It's a way of, well, thought policing. And I took a step back once I saw Professor Brett Weinstein, who is a very classical. He's like a liberal professor up in Evergreen College up in Olympia, Washington. And they took it down. It's like I started noticing what was going on, kind of like a liberal fascism that is starting to happen about it. Censorship on the left. And now the right keeps talking about freedom of speech. It's what the hell happened? Since the 1960s, since the free speech movement on campus.
Well, I mean, once again, with politics, it is bullshit on both sides, and I've always said that, and I will continue to say that. And this is another reason I don't go into politics. Anyway, Beth, the Jerry Seinfeld, Bobcat Goldthwait beef, who do you got?
Oh, Bobcat. I mean, you know, Bobcat was a hero.
Yeah,
Bobcat was the first comedian I saw that I thought, oh, comedy might be okay.
Really? Because I guess Seinfeld was on his... the cars and the comedy and
they
the coffee.
They did that together, yeah.
No. He did it with somebody, and they said, you know, I love Bobcat Goldthwait. I work with him. And he's like, that guy sucks. He always thought he was cool, and he's not cool. He was terrible. Like, this was just
Oh, my God. He made me laugh so hard from the very beginning. I mean, if you want to talk about the jesters, I mean, you know, yes. Bobcat was a clown, and he was rock and roll, and he was inappropriate, and he was too loud, and he was, you know, he wasn't seemed insane. You know, he did seem insane.
Yeah. Do you think that was part of his act, or is that really him?
And that was him, but not him. He started to do Uncab, and, you know, he started to do stories, so it wasn't so much that, but that energy is truly in him.
Okay,
I mean,
good.
You know, that's, but he didn't have to resort to it when he, you know, told stories of, dream life and being a dad and being married to a, you know, a paparazzi attracting wife.
Right.
And, you know, he told stories about his real life. So it's a different thing than what a sort of stadium act of Bobcat was.
Right. Do you remember Alex Bennett?
I know Alex's name, but I never really knew Alex. Yeah.
Radio show San Francisco.
Radio
was good.
Show.
I remember Bobcat was on there.
Right. Yeah. All those San Francisco comedians used to talk about him. Dana
yes.
Gould and Greg Barron, Patton Oswalt. They all came from up there.
What's
yeah.
his name? Slayton.
Bobby Slayton.
Oh, don't get me started on Bobby Slayton.
Uh-oh, what happened?
Well, we had trailers next to each other at a radio network. We both had shows.
Uh-oh.
And he was flying his pirate flag, and I was, you know, doing my yoga thing, and it was two very different cultures.
Ouch.
Yeah.
We had, if you want to talk about people trying to coexist.
Oh,
you and
Bobby Slayton?
Bobby Slayton and I, we were just
why
like...
Why can't we be that honest banter back?
Why can't we coexist? Let's...
You know what? I'll tell you why. Because I'm like, fine, Bobby Slayton, but he said so many awful things about women, ultimately. It's not okay. It's not okay to walk around. Right. I just think, and I have to go, but... I don't think it's okay to walk around hating things and saying being loud about hating things.
Right.
I just don't. I don't think that it furthers the project. But I also don't think, you know, look, people have opinions, and if that's what people want to do, I'm not going to try to stop it. I don't have any sense of, like, this shouldn't exist. I wouldn't, call the comedy police. Or,
I mean, they allow women to do all kinds of hateful
I don't love
speech
that
towards
either.
Men.
Yeah, I don't love that either. I don't, like, I'll tell you, I have a very clear opinion about any comedy about groups. I really have an allergic reaction to women saying men are like
toxic
this,
masculinity,
you know,
as a collective crime.
I just don't like it. I personally just don't like it. I don't think it's wrong. I wouldn't say it's bad. I personally, Beth Lapidus, do not enjoy watching comedy about groups of people.
Right.
I can talk about both liberally because I've been both and had sex with both as both.
Well, there you go.
Oh yeah.
We're going to talk about
All your asses are
Beth,
mine.
Before you go.
Okay.
I was googling Beth Lapidus as I always do before your appearances, and as always, you're a delight. Was Jennifer Aniston on Sex and the City?
Yes.
And they said, no, that was Beth Lapidus. Did you rock the Rachel Du back in the day?
It was not really Rachel Du, but if you look at the pictures, I don't know. I think it might be our chins. HBO got a lot of calls of how did you get Jennifer Aniston to do that part? And I wish I was famous enough that, you know, people would be like, thank God you got Beth Lapidus. That was a real thing. Yeah, that was a real thing.
Speaking of Netflix, I'm gonna have to try to find Sarah Jessica Parker.
Who did she play? She played a real person.
Carrie
Bradshaw.
It was based on an author. Yeah,
yeah.
It's based on the author.
Yeah. Michael Patrick King, by the way, I believe is going to be on Cabaret on.
Great segue, because I was just going to ask who's on.
This very Sunday, we've got Moses Storm.
Great.
We've got Laura Keitlinger.
Oh, amazing.
We've got Asif Ali making his Uncabaret debut.
Great.
We've got Daniel Webb.
Oh, wow.
And the musical act is such a great guy. Oh, my God. His name is Chris Pierce, and his music is soul, and his voice is incredible, and he's a soundtrack guy, and he's had, you know, number one stuff on This Is Us, and
terrific.
He's really special. He's one of the only music acts that the audience has been like, please don't get off stage. People are usually like, that's nice, two songs, very lovely, it's great to hear you. Yeah. And we're back to comedy.
Yeah. This is like, forget the comedy, we want this guy. Yeah.
This is like, can we please have more? Yeah, he's really, truly, just in a huge heart. Yeah. So that's this weekend. There might be one more, but I'm not sure. And me.
Well, there's
at Rockwell on Sunday night.
Isn't Kira?
Kira was supposed to be on. That's a very good of you. But she had a schedule conflict.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to be there, and I will be there.
You need to gather a group of the Dark Mark podcast people.
Yes,
and big party. You need to make a dark. You guys,
the
you
Dark
gotta,
Mark Uncabaret Posse.
You've got to have you. I want you to show up in numbers. I want you to show your colors. I want you to all wear black.
Yes.
I want you to come to Rockwell on Sunday night, and I want you to get with the program of. People can say whatever they want, but all I care about is people talk from their real experience. I mean, that's what I'm really looking for, is people who are really talking about not some, you know, some conceptual idea of, you know, whatever. Anyway, that's what the show is.
Yeah. And these millennials, they're crazy.
What?
Yeah, white guys can't dance. You know, we've heard it. We want to talk about you.
I didn't know that. Did you know white guys couldn't dance? I didn't know that.
Anyway, I'm trying to think.
Thank
of the
you so much for having me. It was lovely. It was great to meet you. I look forward to seeing your work and great
to
see
you. Thank you. Great to meet you.
Yes, and white nail polish lady. Yes. I will see you on Sunday night at Rockwell. Shows
thank
at
you
7:30.
So much for coming.
Thanks for having me.
Insightful and hilarious as always.
For the coffee, and I will see you.
I apologize about the coffee. That's what I was apologizing about. And the great Beth Lapidus, she changed an art form, and I had other questions, but
next time. It's right around the corner from my house. So
no wonder.
Easy to pop over.
No wonder.
That's the only reason I come here.
I was gonna say there had to be a reason, and now I know what it is. Anyway, Eve's here.
What?
Now we're. I love that.
I had to give some reference. Okay, back to me. Ready, go.
Okay, now what deep dark? What deep dark things do you want to talk about now?
Oh well, deep dark.
Well, you're leaving LA. That's,
well, I'm moving. Yes. I can't tell you where. I'm going to keep that a secret.
Right.
I
know, but some people won't.
I have I've got a lot of good news to report.
Oh, please, let's hear it.
I'm moving to a new house.
That's great.
And I have a new boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And this boyfriend is 7 foot tall.
Mm-hmm. Yum.
Have Hannah and I met this boyfriend?
Yes.
I think we have. It is very handsome and very nice man.
Yes.
Very nice.
Yes.
And
very tall.
And very tall. And I got very lucky. I just got back from, okay, more good news. Just got back from McKinney, Texas. I flew into Dallas to watch his son get married.
Aww.
I'm going to pop. I don't know if I want to, you know, I don't think he didn't take the knee. But he basically turned to his youngest son while his son was having his first dance with his husband and told his youngest son, when we get married. And I just had this...
Well, wait a second. Now, what?
I just had this pause because we haven't even lived together. You know, we've been dating. We've been dating almost 2 years.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. So, I mean, do you think? Do you think it's?
It's not
if. Do you want to get married to this man?
Well, I pulled him off to the side and said, "You know, we talked about this, and I'm not going to give too much away. But you know, when the time comes, make it formal. I want the knee."
Yes, and the ring. Deserve it.
Yeah. Well, I love the change in voice when you talk about him because it's very lilting. Look at that.
It's
at the blushing.
So cute.
Isn't it? How cute is
and
that?
And your smile.
How lilting. How cute is that? And,
I made a promise to keep Amazon Eve out of the relationship where I'd say, get your ass over here now.
He doesn't like a little bit of that?
No.
Because we had some of that last week.
No. It's when you have a superpower like that, you know, you gotta learn to put that on the shelf. Mm-hmm. Okay, you can't play a man like a piano. You gotta let him do his thing.
Right.
Yeah, right.
That's true.
Right. Feed him. Have fun with him. Fuck him. Pretty much.
Yeah.
That's what.
Keep him happy.
That's what I say in my act. Right. Pizza, beer, and a blowjob were set for a month. That's the way it goes.
Now women are a little different.
No, women are a little very. Right? Yeah,
with three T's:
different.
Time, touch, and talk. It's pretty simple.
Wait. So say that again.
The three T's. Men, it's the three F's. Wait. Fun, feed him, fuck him.
Right.
Okay. Women, the three T's: time, touch, and talk.
Time, touch,
and food. I like to be fed.
Okay. Well, we can do that too, but that usually.
But do you like people to spend time on you, touch you, and talk to you?
It depends on the person, since I'm so picky about who touches me. But yes, if I have a connection, totally.
Okay. Mm. All right. See, this is the thing. Now, how do you get that connection, Eve?
Well, I don't want to talk about my dating life, but
my dating life. How do I get a connection with somebody?
Oh, how do you find somebody?
Yeah, how do I get a connection with somebody? How do I, when you say I gotta talk,
you stop looking.
And, yeah, it
no,
just
no, no, I've
happens.
Done that. No, that bullshit. No, it doesn't.
It, you can't force it. It's just a magnetic. It's
you
just,
you have to be you have you, to be an una- you have to be an unadvertised special. Mm-hmm. You walk with, you've got to be that. You got to exude the double fire sign high Prado alpha.
Okay.
All right. Right.
Okay.
Like the Dark Mark Enterprise.
All right.
Then all of a sudden they throw it at you.
I'll see what I
become the high value man. Self improvement is key.
Yeah, that's the thing. And you were saying you've been both, you fucked both, so you have insight on both.
Well, that's called experimenting. One doesn't work. Try this. That doesn't work. Right. Try this. That would plug this one here. Plug that one there. Okay, good. Mm-hmm.
But you can make
when you finally get it, why did I figure this shit out a long time ago?
Right.
Well, we talked about that in your other show. We're going to keep it nice and light. We're not going to have any more. Birthday! It was recently my birthday. So.
Happy birthday!
Well, yeah, we've got some Twitter questions for you. Speaking of that,
Twitter, do I have some Twitter people?
Yes, Mina Lamalis has a couple
Mina
questions.
Hello, Mina.
Yes, one of the questions is: Erica trained in the art of kendo? If so, can you put up a video of you doing kendo or other martial arts moves?
Well, I know how to use a rapier. I know how to use a staff, two bow, two clubs at the same time, a screama. I know how to use a little knife, rifle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I go out there and do some combat. I don't know how to use a kendo.
Mm.
Actually, I've had a shinai. It's somewhat like a kendo practice.
Okay. Jordan loves Amazon Eve. This was what I was going for. Your birthday happened recently. So he wanted to know if you had a good birthday and what you did to celebrate.
Well, again, I'm packing. So you can see my shoulders all red. I've been outside at my storage unit getting everything all ready to go. I'm moving everything.
How many years has that stuff been in storage?
Well, you know, I have a lot of shoes. I have a history with shoes.
So
a lot of costumes, a lot of clothing, a lot of things that I can't keep in my regular place.
What size shoe are you?
Oh, you really don't want to know. Depends on where you are in the world. It's 11. It's 11 and a half if you're UK.
Okay,
it makes me feel not bad at all.
Yeah, that's just because
I just gave Hannah some shoes from my neighbor who moved. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking maybe she could get some Amazon EU shoes, but probably your different shoe sizes.
Your different shoe sizes.
Yeah. You're larger than eight.
In the EU, they call them 45s.
Yeah, you're larger than eight.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll just go with that. So, was your birthday a good one?
It was a good birthday.
Yes.
I've been packing. I've been getting ready to head on out of town, and I'm very pleased with our new home.
Right.
And I'm going to nest a little bit. I'm going to I'm going to take some time and take some time off, and then that's been the tricky part is having that stability, and he is just can't come in like the knight in shining armor.
Well, this is what I was telling Hannah is because she's going to miss you. I'm going to miss you.
I am going to miss you.
I'm still going to come back.
I mean, this has been a rough month. I mean, it's the first. Morgan's not going to be doing our show anymore after this month. Then you're leaving. It's a whole transition.
It is.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you been given the high sign? Are we almost out of
time? No. We got time because we got two more questions here.
Okay. What's your question?
Okay. This is from Mina. I think Erica's absolutely adorable. How does she do it?
Aww.
Oh, boy. Know your shadow. All right. I always say, no, I'm saying no, you know your dark side. There's a fine line between heroism and hubris, and I don't want to be that person who says, yes, I'm so sweet, aren't I? Aren't I Polly Peppermint purebred, whatever, now? Heck no. Got two little horns holding up my halo. I know my shadow. I know thyself. I have anger issues that I have to work on.
Really?
And that's a lot of my art comes from that angst, that energy.
Right.
And I try to put it up there, and I just want to point out. Oh yeah, what about that? Oh, right. Does it hurt? Would you like some more?
Mm-hmm.
Give in to your hate. You know. If the dark side shows up. So a lot of that runs in my you can get away with a lot more in a solo piece of theater than you can doing stand-up.
I know.
Theater
I know.
Gives you, if you call something theater, there's a lot more latitude than stand-up because stand-up becomes personal.
Right.
Theater, you're a little bit more removed. I think
I had the opposite reaction. Honestly, doing my solo shows, my one man shows that I've done.
Right. Do you think they can produce? Do you think they could produce the producers again?
Oh, you mean like Broadway?
Yes.
Well, I mean the producers. Yeah, they do it every day.
Well, they're showing a show called Springtime Boy.
They do it every day. They take a property, they take a movie and make it a play. They do it every day. Right. Producers was the first one that hit, but they can't get an original play on Broadway now.
Do you think that play could go to London?
What play? The Producers?
Yes,
it did.
Well, why do they do Springtime for Hitler on stage, but Count Dankula can't teach his pug as a joke to his girlfriend to teach his pug how to do a Nazi salute because they do it on stage
because the Producers was a movie in 1969 or whenever it was that's already been done.
Different. It's a pug. It's a Chinese pug.
Hey, look, here's the thing. In my opinion, and I don't know the British law. I don't know you're the lawyer. I don't know.
I'm not a lawyer.
Okay. I don't know British law.
I know enough just to trip over myself.
My personal opinion, I disagree. I disagree with Beth in that. I think there's freedom of speech, and if you have freedom of speech, you have freedom of speech, even for stuff that's repugnant that you don't like. So if it's my opinion, I think something like that, which I wouldn't watch and I wouldn't think is funny. I'll tell you something else. Speaking of that, and I know we're wrapping up.
Very specific words are being policed right now. Let me tell you something.
Somebody came up to me yesterday, came up to me with the cell phone and said, "This is so funny, you got to see this. This is the funniest thing." She was guffawing. She was laughing so hard. It was a car, a black car or a silver car with a black fender painted on the fender, I identify as silver. And somebody put, this is the first trans car. Now, I didn't think it was funny. She's like, oh, it's the funniest thing. I'm like, it's not that funny, but I don't even think, I honestly didn't think it was funny at all, but I said, I don't think that's funny. Does somebody have the right to post it? I think so. Do you, I mean, you're looking at me.
I'm going to talk about Scarlett Johansson.
No, don't talk about Scarlett Johansson. How about that? Do you think that should be allowed?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
The word allowed is a load. What do you mean by allowed?
Well, you're saying a guy teaches his dog a Hitler story.
Are they allowed to think it? Are they allowed to express it? Someone's going to write something else about, I mean, what if they make another movie? Why are movies in theater given more latitude than comedy?
What movie in theater is given more latitude than comedy?
Why?
What movie in theater has more latitude than comedy?
Oh, I mean, they can make movies all the time about, you know, Nazi Germany.
What was the last Nazi Germany movie you saw? They make superhero movies. They make movies for kids. They don't make things about Nazi Germany. Anyway.
I mean, the Avengers went back to when Captain America was running around.
Right. But, I mean,
in Nazi Germany.
Right, but nobody's dog was saluting. Anyway,
they had Hydra. They had a double salute.
Anyway, I don't want to talk about the Avengers with you. I want to talk about Jordan Lowe's Amazon Eve's question, which is there any progress on the comedy show tours and or merchandise on AmazonEve.com?
Yes.
Last time you mentioned it was coming soon. Let's hear this.
Well, there's going to be a website that will be a tour schedule, but I needed to get my living situation set first. So
it's down the pike. It's coming.
It's down the pike, yes.
Okay. So we're going to get settled. We're going to get in love. We're going to get
so all of this kind of happened post Christmas. I spent Christmas with him, and it was a lovely Christmas. And then his mom died.
I'm sorry to hear that.
His mom loved me, and you know, gave the relationship her blessing. And I'm a little cooey right now.
Yes.
This is right. This is what I've always dreamed of.
So
and if I never come back to Hollywood, never shoot a movie, never get on stand-up, I don't know. I'll probably have to write and maybe go up somewhere else. I'm not going to tell you where. But I will be coming back. I will be touring. Touring is part of it.
Okay.
So I'm just starting in a different location.
Right. So you're giving domestic bliss a try. You're artistic. You're still going to be artistic.
Yeah, and that's not going to stop.
And a lot of Amazon Eve to come. AmazonEve.com. Look out for it. Follow you on social media.
At Amazon Eve on Twitter.
Yes, at Amazon Eve on Twitter. And I got to go back and see some of the incendiary tweets that you've been posting lately. And
what incendiary tweets have I been posting?
I don't know. You're in love. I love that you're in love. Amazon
and you
Eve.
You can feel it, too.
Yes, she's blushing again.
I don't know. It's a mushy feeling. It makes you emotional. I miss it. I thought I would never. I gave up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the advice I gave you. I gave up. And I built a Mook Jung as my little surrogate. You know, boyfriend. That's why he has big jungs.
Anyway,
and then he shows up. And then I am pleasantly surprised. When you let go of something and be grateful for what you have in the moment that time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's when your blessings multiply.
Right. We have to let go of the show, unfortunately. But Amazon Eve, we can talk all night, but we have to do
back.
It off mic.
Okay.
She'll be back. And
I'll be back.
Yes. And so Amazon Eve and all social media. Hail Hannabach 666 on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
She's almost ready to cry because you're
I am. I'm so sad.
And Goth Comedian on social media. Everybody have a wonderfully creepy week. Bye.
Creepies.
Bye.
Creepies.